I got the joys and the delights of healthy churches keep first things first. Just having a little spy around to see if there's anyone who hasn't been with us at all. If you haven't been with us in the last couple of months, we've actually been on a journey as a church looking at what is a healthy church? How should we look? And church not being the building, but being every single one of you's bums are on the seat right now, whether you realise it, oops, or not. What not to do with the gadget. Okay, so quick recap, not that I'm going to go through everything that they've said, because we'd be here all day, and I don't know about you, but I'm going on holiday later. So it's like, oh. So, yes, okay. Little recap, we started this journey looking at the local church being the hope of the world. So do you realise that? That you are the hope of the world down your high street where you live if you are in that relationship with Jesus. And what do healthy churches look like? What do they do? We follow the blueprint. We live out unity. We give, not just financially, in other ways too. We produce good fruit. That's a natural part of the world. When you're farming, you plant something, it grows, it develops, it produces fruit. It's natural. So we should be growing and reproducing. The other week, we were reminded that every single one of us here who knows God, you're a minister. It's not just about those who have a particular ministry within the church, but every single one of us has something that God wants us to give and to serve him in. And, you know, that we're fun and attractive. And so I was kind of like looking back thinking, well, are we? You know, are these descriptors something that if one of my friends came in and met me and met all of you lovely people, when we were chatting at lunch afterwards, is that some of what they would actually describe us as? So that might be a challenge to myself to bring someone along and then to ask them. But keeping first things first, for me, I must remember to point upwards and not outwards at that, because it's up, isn't it? Okay, but keeping first things first, for me, that's what underpins all the other points that have gone before, and we're going to have a little look at that. What does it mean, keeping first things first? If I looked from like a world point of view, the American Dictionary of Idioisms, if that's how you say, or idioms, says this: the most important tasks get priority. So, I very much wanted to see that movie the other night, but alas, I had a paper that I had to submit the following day, so the paper had to take priority. For those of you that are students, for those of us that have had reports to write and stuff like that, we might know that priority. For each one of us, it will be different. But that adage was actually first recorded in 1545, so we're not talking about anything new. If you looked from a time management point of view, and I speak on time management at university, so it would be quite easy for me to get sidetracked down that avenue. Putting first things first means doing the important things in life, being clear about your priorities and acting upon them. So if we think about the world around us, you know, our friends, our neighbours, us even, what are some of the things that we put first in our lives? Anyone? Come on, you've all got voices. Sorry? I can't hear, so. Money? Family? Family, the Lord is my... I need a mic that goes around. What else? What? Sorry? Facebook, yep. Food, excellent one. It is, it's important. Okay, didn't realise you'd all need waking up so much this morning. Oh, technology, love it when it works. Okay, here are some things that I found out earlier. You know, family, work, home, hobbies, body, mind, soul, spirit. What about my wealth, my career, my health? And they're all good. So, you know, the fastest man on earth, I forget his name now, but it didn't just happen overnight, did it? He trained for that long and hard. That was his priority. So he would get up at silly o'clock in the morning, whatever the weather, be it sunny I wonder if he actually trained in any rain or snow or sleet because of where his home was. But it's that dedication, that commitment. So where do I need to spend my time? Do I need any training, anything like that, that helps build up my skills? So it's managing, it's prioritizing my time, my energy. So that's how the world looks at it. But kind of, you know, God being God, he always likes to look at things a bit differently, doesn't he? C.S. Lewis said this, put first things first and second things are thrown in. Put second things first and you lose both first and second things. So being clear about our priorities and acting upon them, what about within our Christian life? What about within church, family life? Do any of those priorities change? Do anything else come in? Well, I know some of my temptations in the past, some of my friends, has been that they focus on their role or their title, their responsibilities. Others, that they're seen to be at every meeting. No, there's not a meeting where they're not at. That they're known for being praying out loud, that they're singing as loud and hard as they can, that they serve in lots of areas. That's my area that I lead, that I have responsibility for. And there's nothing wrong with those things. But we can get a bit busy playing juggler or plate spinner. And it's like, well, how do we keep first things first? Right, okay, how do I keep the... I found this quote, I don't know if it comes up as clearly on there. To begin with the end in mind means to start with a clear understanding of your destination. It means to know where you're going so that you better understand where you are now, so that the steps you take are always in the right direction. To begin with the end in mind means to start with a clear understanding of your destination. So for those of you that would say, I know Jesus, our destination's eternity with him, isn't it? And in my life and in the cares and that come in, I can forget that at times. That is my ultimate destination. So will that mean that I prioritise some things differently in life? It might. But what does God say about it? Well, let's have a little look. Okay. Isaiah 43:7. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. You know, God's priority for all of us, whether you realise it or not, is that he created us for his glory. So my destination is eternity. My role, if you like, my life, is all about giving him, or should be all about giving him glory. He created us. He chose us. He chose you for intimate relationship with him. It's not about my efforts. It's not about my busyness. It's all about him. Love it. Jesus dying on that cross for me. But God doesn't stop there, does he? May you have the power to understand how wide, how long, how high, how deep God's love is for us, for you. Ephesians 3:18-19. No, to know that love of Christ that goes beyond our knowledge, that we can be filled with all the fullness of God. My Christian life has seen God choose me when I wasn't even aware of, didn't even know that he existed, wasn't even looking for him. And I've had to write it down so I don't, you know, ramble on. I was stubborn, I was hard-hearted. I never smiled, never laughed, never cried, didn't actually know what love was. But over the years, I'm so thankful that God hasn't stayed within the boundaries of my existing knowledge. His is so much wider. He has loved me and continues to love me with an everlasting love. Even when I've tried to forget him, when I've not been faithful, when I've allowed other things to become that first in my life, he's softened and enlarged my heart. So who I am today is because of him, and it's for him. Hopefully in that, he gets some of the glory, and in that, I'm then fulfilling part of my destiny in keeping first things first. And a lot of us have heard the story of Mary and Martha, haven't we, in Luke 10. Okay, just that little recap, that Martha is busy around making lunch. Jesus comes in. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Mary was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." And we're going to kind of unpick that a couple of times as we go through. But me and my humour, I found this picture. For those of you who might be listening and not actually ever see it, here we go. We've got two sheep who've gone down the pub for a drink. Sheep number one says, "I don't get it. If Martha stops working, who's going to make lunch?" I know that's part of what I'd be thinking, the practicalities of stuff. Sheep number two, "It's not about what Martha needs to do. It's about what Jesus will do. Mary knows that." So sheep number one, "Oh, it's going to order takeout." Now actually, Jesus could have done that. You know, he is the Son of God. He could have said, "Lord, can we have some manna from heaven, please?" But he didn't do that. No, and for us, it's that thing of, actually, our daddy is the supernatural God. And we can be scrambling around, trying to do things, trying to fix things in our own strength. And he's like, "Stop being a Martha. Come and be with me and be a Mary. Have some time with me. Because actually, there's words that I want to whisper to you. There's resources that I want to release to you." If you haven't read Matthew 6, go away and read Matthew 6, especially if you're worried about different stuff in life, and that's some of your first priorities at the moment. Matthew 6:25 says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear." And it goes on. But 6:33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So our challenge is to keep our first things first. So it should be our love for God, our passion for Jesus, what he's wanting. And as we do that, so all these other things come into play. So again, if I look at me as part of the story, I was challenged with it earlier on in my Christian life. And I can still forget it, I can still be distracted by it. And I've been challenged in this whole season of work and job change and all of that jazz. So in my career choices, in my relationship choices, the big and small decisions that I have to make in life, my job, where I live, do I buy a house, do I rent, do I go on holiday, do I spend time with others, how I serve, when I serve, it all begins with being before him. And that can be my hardest challenge. Quiet before him. You know, how much do we love hearing the sound of our own voices at time? It's so easy to come and gabble away to him, whether that's prayer, songs, tongues. There's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes he just wants us to be before him, to shut up, to be still, to be listening to that still, small whisper of his. And it's not easy, is it? Especially when we've got those life choices and all of that crashing in on us. But his promise is, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So my life actually is my life. It's his life through me. So Paul talked about counting everything as loss. Philippians 3:8-11. Go away and read it. But in a nutshell, it's that everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He had an amazing job. He had prestige. He had everything. No, and he lost it all, but actually he gained, because he gained relationship with his dad. And he talks about that he would know him and the power of his resurrection and share in his sufferings, becoming like Jesus in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. you know, keeping first things first is doing Father's will. Sometimes when it might go against ours, I want to go and watch that movie, but actually I could do with having some time with my daddy. You know, Jesus, in his obedience to death on the cross, he put first things first. That was his Father's will. So that's what he did. He didn't have to. The angels could have come and got him very easily. But he was obedient. He kept first things first. And we go off at a slight tangent. Because in the week, I was given a story. I thought, oh God, is it relevant or not? But it's a challenge. And it talks about a guy. I'm just going to skip that. Today, I met a hero. Although he wanted me to, I will not show you his face or his name because his statements are too provocative. If people found out, they would kill him, basically. And so he's asked, are you afraid? He says, I'm not afraid. They can try to hurt me, but they can't take away what is most precious. My Jesus lives in my heart, and they can't take him. This man was rich. When I say rich, I mean he owned 3 houses, multiple cars, and about 1 kilometre's worth of undeveloped land. He managed an office of multiple staff, which he ran with an Islamic man who was his best friend. When ISIS swept through his town to cleanse it of Christians, he picked up his wife and 5 kids and fled for fear of their lives. As they ran, his best friend phoned and took pleasure in telling him, I've taken everything of yours. I've taken your house. I'm actually calling you from inside your house, which is now mine in the name of ISIS. My friend replies, I'll come back one day. Only to hear this chilling reply, no, I will chase you to the next town to which you run now, and we will take everything again. The betrayal and emotional hurt added to fear for physical safety makes what ISIS do so pervasively sinister. Yet my hero friend continues, they come in the name of ISIS, but we will stand firm in the name of Jesus Christ, and we will not be afraid of them. We leave our houses, but that I know that if we leave our faith, we lose everything. Before they took away everything, I was a Christian only by name, but now my faith is alive. ISIS is a gift. If ISIS comes to the West, it is a gift from the Lord. It will be a wake-up call for a sleepy church. If you want to spend your time working for more money and more houses and just going along to church on Sunday, you can lose it. But if you work for God, and he points up, you can never lose it. So I say to the Western church, wake up, wake up. Christians in the West don't want to die because they're more in love with life than Jesus. It's God's will for me to be here. When you are a small child in the womb of your mother, God already has a plan for you. He has a reason why you are alive and why you are created. God is working here and he wants me to stay. The most important thing in life is passing the message of Jesus to more and more people. And since ISIS has come, more Islamic people than ever are asking us about our faith. It is so amazing when they come and say, tell me about this Jesus. This guy is keeping first things first. He had the opportunity for him and his wife and kids to be taken to another country where they would be able to live freely, safely, without any fear or anything like that. He prayed about it and he said, no, the will of my Father is that I stay here. So I'm going to trust him. I'm going to put him first. And we are going to stay. And amazingly, no, they are still safe. But it challenged me because I thought, well, God, do I keep things first? I don't all the time, I know that. But actually, if I was in that situation, you know, give up professing in your faith or lose your life, which would I go for? And at the moment, the verdict's still out on that because I'm a work in process, but I would hope that I would cling to my Jesus. So in keeping first things first, you know, that passion, that love, for him, we are disciples glorifying God together. There's some scriptures on the slide you can go and look up. Now, the ultimate goal of the church, of us, it's not growth, it's not great environments, it's not even effectiveness for those that love efficiency. Our ultimate goal is to bring God glory. Everything is for his glory. You were born not just from the passion of your parents. You were knit together in your mother's womb by God. Your hair colour, the size, the shape that you are, your character, your personality, your hopes, your dreams, they're not just a whim. You know, God formed and knitted each one of those things into who we are as we were in our womb, in our mother's womb even. He's chosen you. So he might have chosen you to have a fab job. He might have chosen you to earn lots of money. He might have chosen you to earn lots of money that you can give lots away. You might have kids. Life can have all of those aspects. There's nothing wrong with that. But we're chosen to bring him glory. So in all of those things, are they his or are they mine? Healthy churches keep first things first. So when somebody's talking to me, when I'm chatting to you, actually to tell you my story should be to tell you about him. Because my life should be, it's not always, but it should be him woven all the way through. Am I passionately seeking God? My challenge is not to be driven, and so the church's challenge, not to be driven by programs or numbers, bums on seats or accolades. But, you know, are we led by the Spirit of God? Are we making Jesus' name known? Are we seeking God's glory to be revealed through us? Are we hungry to know God more? Do we understand that the gospel is not ultimately about us? It's all about him. Are we constantly fighting to keep first things first? I said we'd come back to the Mary and Martha. Now, we live in an exceedingly busy, consumerist society. Quick fix, quick, you know, fast food, all of that jazz. But am I taking Mary moments in a Martha land? Am I keeping my relationship with Jesus primary to my mission for him? Yep, I've got a job and I'll have that weird thing of two masters now, so that's going to be an interesting one. But actually, it's not about the job that I'm doing. It's about that I'm doing that job because I love him, I'm being obedient to him, and I'm doing it because I want to see his glory. Don't busy ourselves so much with God's work that we forget to be in his presence. That's been a challenge for me. So what have you let become your first? Now, it's not necessarily that those firsts are bad things, because they're not. Now, spending time with family, working, we need to be doing those things, don't we? But actually, if I'm doing all of that with no thought of God involved in that equation, actually there's something a bit skew with there. So I just want to take a few moments. I was going to play a song, but we're not going to, because I'm conscious of time. But I just want you to take a few moments. You can close your eyes if you want to. I just want to pray. But just that, here I am, Lord. Here is me, warts and all. Here's my hopes, here's my dreams, here's my fears, here's my worries, here's my passions, here's my delights, here's my family. Come and be in them. It might be that you prioritise something first where you know God's like, Lise, come on. I know you love watching those films, but actually I want time with you. It could be anything. So I'm just going to pray. Right. Yeah, Father, I just thank you that it is all about you. And Lord, our longing and our desire is to be men and women who know that we have been called by you, who are confident of our identity in you, that we are your son, we are your daughter, children of the Most High. And that in that, Father, we have lives that are busy, that different things that scramble and cry out for our attention. But in the midst of that, you are there. And so, Father, we just ask that you would make yourself known, that Holy Spirit, you would just bring those things to our mind where actually we put them before you, or they're our main priority, or we can't see how you can work in that area but we would just come and bring it before you and trust you with it, because you are a daddy whose plans are to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. So come, Holy Spirit. If you're a follower of Christ, you've been chosen by him. You have that privilege of being able to come near. Do you have prior proximity with God, or do you have intimacy with him? Our ultimate goal is to know God and make him known for all his glory. We do that by keeping first things first. That first love of when we first became a Christian. That God is first our Father. Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." We're sons and daughters first. So we need to be before him. That's what encourages us. To wait upon him, to listen to him. And from that position, our lives will naturally flow with his love for us. And our love for him, and that affects everyone around us. And the Holy Spirit will enable us to live keeping first things first. Jesus learned to go away and be with his Father before going and doing for his Father. That's our challenge too, isn't it? So let's be a people that be before God. And then let's go and do all that he has called us to do, that we can see him glorified, we can see people saved, healed, added to our family, see communities given hope, safe refuge, be that city on a hill. So let's be a people empowered by the Holy Spirit to pray and know life in all of its fullness as a part of and being our part in a healthy church. That's it.
When you feel God has laid something on your heart, it's a challenge to just bring over everything that you feel the Holy Spirit has given you. So well done for that. But it's our responsibility now. We don't come to church on a Sunday just for a feel-good factor necessarily, although we do go away having met with God. But the challenge is, what is God saying to us? Now, I don't know about you, but from the outset of this morning, you know, God has been challenging us. What are we clinging on to? What does he, you know, we have a God who loves us and we can feel safe with, and he's challenging us to make first things first. What are our priorities? And so I just want to encourage you that, you know, God has a purpose and a plan for each one of us, and we want to get it right, don't we? So if you'd like prayer, then we would love to pray for you, and for those of you that would like to go and fellowship with tea and coffee, please feel free to go and have your tea and coffee. Sign up on the sheets, sign Dave's card, sign anything that's going, and go and fellowship.